If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And also we'll be following, fairly well be following the outline that was handed out. Toward the end of last chapter we studied, chapter 2, Paul indicated his desire to come to see the people at Thessalonica. Remember, he went to Thessalonica from Philippi. He'd been in jail, in prison in Philippi, had some conversions there. Lydia, her household, the Philippian jailer, his household, perhaps others are not mentioned. But then from there he went to Thessalonica on a main road at that time from Philippi to Thessalonica, and about 100 miles away. And he wasn't treated too well while he was there. Jews came there, or the Jews there ran him out of town to Berea, ran Paul out of town, and Silas and Timothy stayed there for a while. And then after Berea, the Jews from Thessalonica came to Berea, which was down in the area of Achaia, if not in Achaia, or Greece, and they gave him trouble there. So the brethren had to sneak Paul out of town, and he went from there to Corinth in the 18th, or to Athens, rather, first in the 17th chapter of Acts, then on to Corinth for a year and a half stay at Corinth. So Paul is kind of making the rounds over in that area of Europe. He's over in Europe, in Macedonia at that time, and Achaia at that time. Let's look in at the outline. There are four major points that we'll be looking at. Paul's desire for a personal visit was hindered, and some of this information is found in the prior chapter, chapter 2. And then we'll be looking at those verses. And then in the second point, Timothy is sent from Paul in Athens to the church at Thessalonica. That's verses, first five verses of the third chapter of Thessalonians. Verses 6 through 10 of the third chapter speaks about Paul's joy upon Timothy's return from the area of Thessalonica. And then in conclusion, Paul has a prayer for the church at Thessalonica. So we'll look at those four sections this time. Let's look first at the 17th through the 20th verses of the second chapter. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown, or rejoicing, or not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? So Paul had a great desire to go and visit these people. I don't know how long he was there, but his visit was shortened, probably from the time that he was, his intention was to be there, or what he thought he would be there. He was directed and encouraged by the Jews to... directed by God and encouraged by the Jews to make some tracks and move on to another town. And so he speaks to them and says, you know, though I'm not with you there in presence, I'm not there with you physically, I have you in my heart. I'm present in heart, spirit, in spirit, we might say. He said, I've wanted to time and again to come to see you, but Satan has hindered me. There have been things that have caused me to go elsewhere. And then he let them know exactly how much he cared for them by speaking of them as his hope, his joy, his crown of rejoicing. He had taught these people. And a lot of times, if you've known missionaries and you've heard Brother Hunter speak time and time again, that, you know, he speaks with fondness of those that he has brought to Christ. And I'm sure that those that he has brought to Christ that he loses sleep over. He's stressed out about those who fall away. As every minister, evangelist, teacher, or who does convert someone and then find that individual has fallen away. So Paul's desire is to come back to them and to build upon what he had taught them previously. So he lets them know in no uncertain terms, and there in verse 20, ye are our glory. You are our glory and joy. In other words, they are high in his thinking at all times. Chapter 3 begins at verses 1 through 5, speaks of Timothy being sent to Thessalonica. So we'll read those five verses. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, or Timothy, our brother, minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you, to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that you should that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass. And you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. So we'll look back at those verses and let's see what the message is there, what it tells us about the church at Thessalonica, what it tells us about Paul, what it tells us about Timothy, because it reveals things about all three of these. So Paul said, there was a great need and there was a great desire for me to come and visit you. And he lets them know, really, he doesn't beat around the bushes. He said, you need someone there to teach you and to help you to strengthen your faith, to be more steadfast in your faith. And you might think, well, why wouldn't they take that as a personal affront? Why wouldn't they think, well, Paul, what are you saying? You know, you came and taught us. Are we not strong enough to stand up against the wiles of Satan based on what you taught us? And basically, Paul says, no, I'm not sure you are. Or no, you're not, is really what he's saying. So he said, now, I've got a young man. You remember he talked in writing to the church at Corinth. He said, I sowed the seed. And, well, let's get exactly what he says there. And in 1 Corinthians 3, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. But let's read that and we'll have the word of God and not the word of Lonius. Chapter 3, verse 6. I have planted. I knew it wasn't the word sown. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So Paul had been there and he had planted. I don't know whether Timothy had been there for a short period of time or not. Probably he had been, but I'm not positive. It's likely that he had been. Wherefore we could no longer forbear. He said we could no longer endure. We had to do something. So I was here with Athens, and evidently Timothy had finally arrived from Thessalonica, Berea. And Paul said, I determined I would just stay here by myself. I don't know where Silas. Silas has evidently stayed back in Thessalonica, or well, probably in Berea. But he said, and I will send you Timothy. Timothy, let me tell you about Timothy, he says. Timothy is our brother, and he's a minister of God. He's a servant of God, and he's a fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. I wonder why he gave all this introduction to Timothy. Same reason we give introductions to people who come for a gospel meeting. I was going to speak to a group of us. We need to know the man's credentials, his background, his experience. In this case, someone was coming other than an apostle. And Timothy was the one that was chosen. And as we were studying on this, especially with one commentator, I think, noted a possibility that since Paul was run out of town by the Jews, it might be best to send Timothy back at this time. Especially since Paul was in Athens. So at the time that Timothy goes back, not a whole lot of time has transpired, evidently. From, I don't know, it could have been weeks, months, whatever. But we do find out that from the writing, most people say, or from the time that Paul was there in Thessalonica, from the time he wrote back to them, more time probably had transpired, because most people think that he wrote this from Corinth, even though most King James translations have a note at the end of 1 Thessalonians that it was written from Athens. It's not likely that it was written from Athens based upon a comparison of some scriptures and locations of the various people. We won't go into that because I'd get confused about it. But you can look through the book of Acts, chapter 17, 18, 19, and 20, and have a little, play a little game. Where is Timothy? Where is Paul? Are they at the same place? When did they get back together? How did Silas get in there? Where did he come from? And some of it you learn and some of it you don't, but some of it you can put together as to when these letters were likely written. But why was he sending Timothy? Timothy is being sent, he said, in order to establish you. And what does the word establish? When we say somebody's going out to establish a church, what are we talking about? We're talking about Brother Hunter going over into an area where the church is not in existence and establish a church. But that's not what he's talking about here. It's somewhat similar, but not the same meaning as we give that word, at least the word that's used here. He was concerned about their steadfastness. He was concerned about whether Satan might tempt them, as we read in the first five verses. So in order that they might be stronger, they needed to be set steadfast in the faith. Their faith, Paul will later say, let's look back in, look over in verse 10. We're getting ahead of ourselves. But look in verse 10 where he says, Paul says, I'm praying for you. Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face. He still wants to go, even after Timothy has come back with some good news. That we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. They had not, they're still, in Paul's sight, they're still new converts. Even after Timothy went there and taught them, he's still concerned about their faith, that it still needs to increase. You know, and we emphasize that in Bible studies, that even though we're at the age that we, most of us are, that we've been Christians for a great number of years, some maybe not so many years, but faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And they did not have a Bible with them. They did not have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts, and the letters to the Romans as we sing that song. They didn't have all the way to the book of Revelation. They didn't have it. They had the Apostle Paul. They had others led by the Spirit who could teach them. And Paul saw a great need, based upon the teaching they'd had this far, that they needed additional teaching to establish them and then to comfort. And I'm told that that word there means to encourage or to exhort, rather than what we might try to comfort somebody by making them feel better. But exhorting or encouraging someone sometimes has that same effect. But Paul has sent Timothy, and he says he's there to strengthen you, to comfort you, and regarding your faith. That no man, and he said this is the purpose for him to do what he's going to do, his teaching. that no man should be moved or stressed out, one writer said, stressed out about the suffering that you're now going through. If the Jews ran Paul out of town, Paul, very knowledgeable, Paul, a former Jew with a great knowledge of the Old Testament, and therefore a great background for that which the Holy Spirit was directing him in concerning Jesus Christ. They were going to, and Paul strong, so they ran him out of town. But do you know, when Paul left, they didn't stop their persecution. The Jews came from Thessalonica, they went from Thessalonica on down to Berea. Don't you know they went back home, and any people that Paul converted, if they had the opportunity, they would get after, especially politicians that Paul converted at various places, I think he did here. People that were in the Jews were in the hierarchy, and these other Jews are going to really chastise, could be some members of their own family, some members of their own extended family, their neighbors. So they were undergoing quite a bit of persecution. He calls it, the King James uses the word affliction. And he says that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. In other words, I taught you when you were there that Jesus was suffered, and that if he suffered, we're going to suffer. Verse 4. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that all us, we Christians, will suffer tribulation. And you know it, because it came to pass. It came to pass, as you know. For this cause, this is the reason. When I could no longer forbear, there he uses that word again. He's just repeating what he said back in verse 1. When we could no longer forbear. For this cause, when I could no longer endure, when I no longer could really rest on not sending you somebody or not being there myself, I sent to know your faith. I really wanted to know if you were still faithful. I wanted to know how you stood in your relationship to Christ. Lest by some means Satan, the tempter, had tempted you and you had fallen away. That's what it's saying, really, is that our labor not be in vain, and our labor be in vain if they had been tempted and fallen away. So there's a teaching there from the Bible where Paul has converted these people. They're Christians. And yet he's afraid that they will lose their faith. He's afraid that they will fall away. And he's not only afraid that they'll fall away, he's almost expecting that some will have fallen away because of the problems they've had. Verses 6 through 10. Timothy returns. If Paul is writing this in Athens, I don't know whether Timothy returned to Corinth or returned to Athens. But I think it was probably Corinth. But now, when Timotheus came from us, one other thing, and if you read in Acts chapter 18, when Paul was in Corinth, at the time he wrote this letter, initially did Paul, after just a few days, I think, did he initially want to stay there? If you remember, he didn't really want to stay there. He was ready to leave. And God, the Lord spoke to him and told him that he had much people in this town. And I just wonder if the stress of the church at Thessalonica and other churches was bearing on him so much that I don't know whether he was wearing down, but if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you see that Paul was wearing down some. He had been through enough to wear any man down. And sometimes you wonder if he wouldn't put in prison just to get to rest physically. Because at one time he went into Troas, he preached all night, didn't he, there in Troas the morning. And what did he do? Go on a boat with the rest of the people on his journey? No, he walked all the way to Ephesus, 28 miles, and he hadn't been asleep. The man needed some thinking. He needed to get his thinking going, his juices flowing again, I guess you might say. But anyway, that's reading between the lines. It appears that way some when we dig into it. Verses 6 through 10. But now when Timotheus came from you, he comes back, he gives a report, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have a remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see you as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress or stress by your faith. So he's been going through quite a lot, looks like, in his thinking, in his mind. Remember, in 2 Corinthians 12, he mentions the cares of the church. After he talks about all the shipwrecks and the perils of the sea and the various things that had happened, he talks about the cares of the churches. These gospel preachers, though they were guided by the Holy Spirit as to what they were preached, were not physically endowed with superhuman strength, evidently. Paul said, I've got a thorn in my flesh, Lord, remove it. Remove it. Remove it. My grace is sufficient. Just keep on walking. I don't know whether he had a problem walking, problem seeing, or what his problem was. But that was one prayer that was answered, but was not answered as Paul initially would have had it to be answered. But now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sake before our God? Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. So here in these five verses, we look at our outline. Timothy comes back and reports. Well, what is his report to Paul? Well, exactly, he's not telling him exactly what he wants to hear because that's what he wants to hear. He says, you know, Paul, you were maybe a little bit too concerned. These people are strong in their faith. They're strong in their love for one another. And you know, they still remember you. And they're holding fast. And not only are they still remembering you, look in verse 6, but now he came back, good tidings, your faith and love, that you have good remembrance of us. But they desire to see you too. They want to see you too. Sometimes you wonder when you preach somewhere whether they desire to see you too sometimes. I think every speaker or preacher has had that after he's been somewhere for a while. Congregations have that too sometimes. There's always the people's druthers. Therefore, he said when Timothy came back, gave his good report. He also said that, you know, the people desired greatly to see Paul, and Paul said, that was a great comfort for me. That was a great comfort to me to know, here I am, stressed out, here I am, and that comforts me. He said, that comforts me. And notice the statement, and it really can't get into all the meaning of verse 8 of what he might be thinking. For now we live. He hadn't died, but his mind, his thinking about them, his concern was so great. Now we live. If you stand fast in the faith. Just to hear you are standing, that you've not fallen by the wayside, that you've not slipped back. He says it's beyond words. You know, what thanks? I'm speechless. What can I say? What thanks can we render to God? I thank God again and again for all the joy wherewith we joy. For your sake. He's so grateful. So grateful. Because he says, night and day, praying exceedingly. I mean, this, to me, I put down here, intensity. He's intense in prayer. This is the same writer that has written to other churches, pray without ceasing. Pray always. to the church at Philippi, to the church at Thessalonica, to many of the other congregations that he writes, he says, I thank my God always in every mention of you in prayer. Always mentioning you in prayer. So these people, it's not that his nightly prayers he prayed. He prayed night, he prayed day. In fact, if you look through first and second, especially the first chapter, seems like he goes right out of one prayer and right into another prayer and never says amen. You know, we always look for an amen at the end of a prayer. But Paul says, you know, it doesn't matter where I am in my right, and I can start praying and thanking God for you. There's no set way that he had to write. This is what he was thinking. This is what was in his heart. There was one other statement or thing I wanted to touch base on that I didn't. Let's look in Proverbs 25:25. Talks about how someone like Paul would feel when he got this good news of their situation. Proverbs 25:25. I never remember this was in that proverb or in Proverbs. If I can find Proverbs. Proverbs 25:25. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Don't you think this was like cold water to a man that's out walking in the desert? Paul said, I needed that. I needed that. That made my day and my week to hear that you people were doing all right. I don't know what all there was that may have given Paul the idea that they were having big problems. Perhaps someone he had heard from someone there. There was always people going from place to place. Even in the first chapter it says that from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only Macedonia, Achaia, and every place your faith had Godward is spread. So even though he'd heard that, not in every case had he heard that their faith was strong. There was something lacking in places he thought. But now that he's got this report back from Timothy, it's just like those cold waters in a dry land. It's good news to someone who's in a far country. You know anybody in Iraq? Write them. Send them something for Christmas. Get somebody to help you send them something for Christmas. Or any time. Whether you agree that they ought to be over there or not, they're over there. And they're going through a lot of heartache and a lot of pain. Verses 11 through 13, and we're closed. Conclusion, Paul's prayer for the Thessalonians. Look at 11, verse 11. Now God himself and our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way. Guide us to you. In other words, I've heard now, I've been comforted, but I still have that great desire to come there and to build on what you've already learned. Build on the good news I've heard and strengthen your faith. To the end, he says. Well, let me, the Lord, verse 12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. That's mutual admiration society there. There's mutual love and concern for one another. To the end, he said, that he may establish you. There's that word, establish without the E. That he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So he's praying that they will be strong. His petitions that their hearts would be established, that they would be unblameable at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. One writer suggested that could be speaking of the word there could be holy ones, and sometimes that holy ones refers to angels. In the song that we just sung, it mentions holy ones in it. That doesn't mean it's scriptural necessarily, but it's the same usage, and it's speaking of angels singing. But we'll continue our study in the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, and we'll be taking up either next week or the following week when I preach again on Sunday night. Appreciate your attention, and good to see all of you here tonight. And we pray that you'll read your Bibles and be thankful. Pastor had an excellent article too in our paper today concerning being thankful. Read those articles and think back on the year. Even with the problems, even with the various griefs we've had, the deaths in the congregation, the various sicknesses and other problems, we've got a lot to be thankful for. And we need to think of that throughout this week, as well as all week, but especially as our minds are on that, as we fill ourselves with turkey on Thursday this week. If there's any here tonight who's not a Christian, you have the opportunity to come tonight, expressing your faith in Christ and repenting your sins, to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, just as they did in the Bible. Just as Paul taught when he went to Thessalonica and all the other places that he went. As Christian, if you desire prayers, we'd be glad to pray with you, pray for you, or if you wish to rededicate your life to Christ. You have the opportunity now as we stand.